So the cars rush by on the street. A siren sounds. And life continues everywhere. And here at the Boundless Way Temple, life has been going on in this vivid form of retreat practice. This practice that human beings have done through the ages, human beings of every shape and size and color, human beings of every, all kinds of different beliefs, have found it of great value to step out of the great rush. And of course, here in the 21st century, we have our own particular form of the rush and challenge of life. But as we look at these ancient teachings from thousands of years ago, we can see that some essential issues have not changed. That this gift of consciousness that we humans have, the gift of language, is a challenging one. And one that carries us away from some source. And all of us, in our own way, have some a memory of that source or some desire to move out of the rush, to step aside. We say that monks and practitioners are home leavers. All of us, home leavers sitting in the temple. All of us coughing and sneezing. All of us doing our best. And today we read the song of the Grass Roof Hermitage, and all during this retreat we've been exploring the readings in our fourth edition Boundless Way Sutra book. Get yours now, available at your local Boundless Way outlet store. Trademark. And as I have thought back over all of the different talks, all of these wonderful talks that Steve Wallace has so graciously through the years recorded and put online to share, to freely give, to offer what happens here for others who could not come. But the point of these talks is actually not to explain the meaning of these readings. As Melissa said last night, I believe, these readings, any one of them could be a lifetime. And any sentence fully enough. So I hope that these talks have been an example of how to use the resource of these teachings. Because we say study and practice in our first chant that we do every day. The Dharma is vast and subtle. We now have a chance to see this. Study and practice this. May we realize this true meaning. So study and practice. The study and practice in the Zen way is not the study that's done so often in life. So often in life, study means to accumulate something, to get more knowledge. And in some way, these teachings are only valuable from our perspective as they point to your own heart. So we read these teachings not to get something outside of ourselves, but the teaching as a way into our life. And I grew up, as many of us did, in a world of experts, and I thought my job was to learn what someone else had to teach me, that they had learned something and they could teach me what they knew. But in Zen, we say no one can teach you. There are no teachers of Zen. But there is the practice of Zen, and there is teaching. And through my words, through the words on the page, the hope is that you are turned around. And this turning around may be one of the themes we've been exploring these last 3 weeks, first in the form of repentance. A turning, this great vow we make time after time to pay attention, to follow the precepts, this vow to give our whole self. And of course we fall short. Each one of us falls short, and then in this recognizing that we have fallen away, we have wandered away again. In this realizing of wandering away, we have the opportunity to come back. And this coming back, this returning, repenting, is the essence of our practice. When Melissa and I teach breath practice, we often say, in fact always say, the point is not about staying with your breath, because you will not be able to do that. The point is that when you wander away, you can know that you have wandered away. And that is a moment of awakening. That moment when we wake up, and we cannot wake ourselves up, it happens. So just as the wandering away is automatic, can't be helped, so the waking up is automatic, can't be helped. At some point, it may be after 24 and a half minutes, the bell rings and you wake up from your daydream. Oh, here I am. That's fine. It may be 1,000 times you have wandered away. Lost in the reverie, wondering what that delicious smell coming out of the kitchen is. So many things. And at some point we wake up, and then we vow. We return. And each time we return, we have increased our capacity to return. Human life is getting carried away and waking up and returning. Returning to the root. Turning the light of our attention. Turn around the light to shine within. Then just return, Hongzhe says. Turn around the light to shine within. Then just return. No need to make a big fuss. No need to keep score. 334, 335. we can run up quite a tab. but each time it accrues to your benefit. The more failures, the more opportunities. And so each thing, each moment we encounter is this opportunity. And in the song of the Grass Roof Hermitage, our ancestor Shito says, he's singing of this grass hut where there's nothing of value. Of course, we have, each of us, been constructing our grass hut. And so important to realize that there are no permanent structures. Insight is a passing phenomena. Insight is impermanent. And if you try to hold on to the insight, you could put it in your pocket, maybe. But pretty soon your pockets are bulging and heavy, and you're weighted down with all of the insights. And then if they're really good insights, you need to protect them and make sure no one challenges them. And then you have to get a little gun or something to protect your hoard of insight. And then we become Buddhists. Then we have to defend the God and country, and we can feel very righteous in our delusion. So everything is here. There is nothing you can take forward from here with you. We again and again can only step into our life naked. Just like we all came out of the darkness and warmth of our mothers, not knowing our way, swimming down the canal, whether we wanted to or not, and the lights are bright, and there we are, here we are. The searing air comes into our lungs, and we go, "Wow! What is this? What is this?" Moment after moment, we are born into a world of possibility. Buddha addressed his disciples, saying, "Blessed and courageous bodhisattvas! Blessed and courageous bodhisattvas!" Blessed because each one of us has been given the blessing of life. So precious. Of course, so difficult, but so precious to remember and each breath. Each breath, the fullness of everything that has come before, and each breath also containing everything that is to come. All of this is here right now, and here on the cushion we are trying to appreciate our life. And this takes real intention and effort to appreciate our life, because it is so confusing and painful, and we are turned around and around and around, and not always in a nice way. Sometimes like the one who's blindfolded and spun again and again and again. And we don't know, can't remember who we are, what we were supposed to be doing. I know it had something to do with breathing, but how do we breathe? I can't quite remember. We get lost. And this is human life, human life in the form of lost, or we get carried away with the issue du jour. I in another part of my life. I work with people as a life and leadership coach, and one of the things that is so apparent with me that I talk about a lot is that whatever problem you have now, it won't help you to solve it. Because forever and ever, problems will be coming. So how do we use the problem, the difficulty, the contraction of the moment in service of awakening? How do we live our total life right here? Though the hut is small, it includes the entire worlds, Shito says. So the hut is small, though your cushion is small, though we sit still and upright in this dynamic stillness, as we are buffeted and carried along, and as the weather comes, heat and cold, all kinds of things arise, and we are told this is the whole world. This is the totality of the functioning of your life. And as the Buddha reminded us, the atta-dipa, the self is an island. The self is a light, but this island quality, each one of us lives in our own world of experience. And there is something about coming to terms with that, of realizing even if you want your experience to be different, right in this moment, it is only as it is. There is no possibility of changing it. So we say we die into each moment, dying into how it is, dying to our opinion. And sometimes there is ease and grace in this death, and sometimes we go kicking and screaming. It doesn't actually matter, because both appear. Life infinite in its variations. But something is required, and something is required of each of us. We say the world is a great bright mirror, great round mirror, and will effortlessly reflect whatever comes in front of it. Katagiri Roshi says that you may think, well, since I'm already awake, I don't have to do anything. He said, but the mirror of life, when laziness comes in front of the mirror of life, the mirror of life is happy to reflect laziness, and we live in the lazy world. Sometimes a wonderful world, and certainly in this song of the Grass Roof Hermitage, he's playing in this world. I've built a grass hut where there's nothing of value. After eating, I relax and enjoy a nap. He doesn't say, after eating, I go back into the zendo, though everyone else is resting, I continue my practice. After eating, I relax and enjoy a nap. We have been protected here and held by our rituals, held by our schedule, held by our tenzo and our timer. And in some short time, all of us will be moving out back again into what we call the rest of our life. and how to continue to meet each moment here, to meet each moment here on the last full day of our retreat. Each portion of retreat has its own challenge and opportunity. The first days were here, or the first rounds were here, and then when we can see the finish line, running the marathon, and now the last lap in the stadium, and the crowd is cheering, hoping someone will do something. Anything, right? and there's just this. How wonderfully ordinary. All this work, the emperor asked Bodhidharma, what is the essence of the teaching? And he said, vast emptiness, nothing holy. So no special state, not about concentration, not about samadhi, not about prajna, but about simply walking when we walk. The grace to meet what arises. In his very final words that we have recorded from the Buddha, he said, all things are falling apart. Proceed onward with care. All things are falling apart. We do indeed live in a falling apart world. This falling apart world is none other than the blooming world. And of course, this blooming world is everywhere. And I hope you've all appreciated the very long Dharma talk that has been given by the Amaryllis on the altar. A couple days ago started just the straight stalk, and just a small break in the green pod up above, and now after 2 days of effortless teaching, the amaryllis is amaryllising. Each moment the completion, and each moment holding everything that is to come, including the fading away. All of us are blooming, blossoming in each moment, and all of us falling apart, falling apart, falling apart. And the Buddha's advice is to remember this, and then to proceed onward, to step into life, to throw your life, to rush into life wholeheartedly, and wholeheartedly that is also beyond wholeheartedly and half-heartedly. All of this is wholeheartedly. But to proceed onward, or to meet your life with care. And this care is a kind of appreciation. Dogen talks about parental mind, how the possibility to meet whatever comes and handle it with care and attention. Because everything you encounter is your life. So as we move onward in this endless retreat, an encouragement, always the same encouragement, don't waste your life. This not wasting your life, not an encouragement to be frantic and to grab on to everything, but maybe an encouragement to let go of the whole retreat, of whatever idea you have about how it's going or how it will go, when it will end. Each moment is the blessing you are here to receive. Each moment is the blessing you have journeyed so far to receive. Good and courageous bodhisattvas. My gratitude to you is unbounded. And I think our gratitude to each other can never be expressed or repaid except in giving ourselves to each moment. So if you are grateful for this retreat, if you are grateful for this life, this breath, this sunlight, this this wild confusion, let us all continue to give ourselves to receive whatever is here, to appreciate our lives. Thank you. So please sit comfortably. And we'll explore together. Yeah, Jen.
Well, everybody's talking like it's the last day.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah.
Well, and as I was talking, I thought, oh, should I mention it or not? We should, you know, so many ways to go with it. And one is, of course, it's not the last day. And if you're thinking it's the last day, you're really mistaken. On the other hand, it actually is the last day. And to realize this is the place we are. And how do we live into the juiciness of this? Not a mistake that the mind runs off toward the barn. You know, can smell the oats and ready to go. Maybe making some plans about starting that list. And how do we not fight that? But let that be. So that's part of what's here. And so not to fall on either side. So no, it's not the last day. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, Ed.
I'd like to express some gratitude for a teaching about words. And I think Melissa brought this up to me yesterday, that it's not the last day, and it's the last day. I tend to go, it's not the last day, but you know, it is the last day. And as problematic as words can be, there is this sort of blessing to them. Mm-hmm. I always think of you all using instructions that at first used to irritate me because you would drop the subject. You know, it would be like, breathing quietly. And then it hit me that that's it. That's using those simple instructions really gets right to the heart of it. So yes, it is the last day, and it's not the last day.
I'm just so struck. This is where my mind went, to the four propositions of Nagarjuna when you were talking, which every Zen student should know. And I'm going to apply them to this little formula. So, it is the last day, is the first proposition. It is not the last day. It both is the last day and is not the last day. And it is neither the last day nor is it not the last day.
And this will be on the test.
and the reason that I decided to share it is because, you know, the skillful use of words is important, as you're pointing out. And then there's a way that Zen teachers use words against each other. So you hear it a lot in Dogen, where he knew the four propositions of Nagarjuna also. And so there's sometimes you can almost see him threading that, you know, there's this, and there's not this, and there's not this, and there's both this and not this. You know, and you go, what? But it is a direct pointing to kind of this holistic way of understanding life. Mm-hmm. And we tend to go into one box. And just, I get it. Oh yeah, I get it. It's the last day and it's not the last day. Well, that's the third proposition, but it misses the other three. So this, what we're aiming for here is a flexibility of mind, not an, oh, I got it kind of mind. Mm. Yeah. And that's, all of us are prey to that, oh, I got it kind of, oh, I see what they're saying. Okay, thank you. And then, now, what route am I going to take home? And what highways? And how am I going to pack my bed? Right? Instead to let all those thoughts simply be present as thoughts. And some of them need to be attended to.
And that's the wonderful thing about and.
Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And such a skillful word to have in the English language.
I can't help but have in my mind the amaryllis or any seed that is constantly giving way to the next thing. You can see the sheath and it just, everything has to give way. Mm. The leaves, those new leaves, the cuddle.
Cotyledons,
they are so vital. They're so important, and then all of a sudden they're so not important.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Something else happens, and right. It's so... I feel like, besides that you guys just stayed here the whole 3 weeks, and this varying group reminds me of the nest of catfish I've seen a couple times in the bottom of Lake Winnipesaukee. It's this dark blot, and then all of a sudden it's this huge blot, and it goes really dark, and I feel like this group was like that, but you know, it just like changed all the time, and yet it was always here. And I feel like I, in terms of the amaryllis or any of plants on my shelves, or it's like I can look at them, I can look at you, and I can remember. I have it always with me, too. I can always open my eyes.
Mm, yeah.
Or not.
Right. Yeah. Wow. You know, wonderful.
But that is a giving way. I give right. way to that possibility. Right. Like it's really, it's, you know, I just want to. You don't want to tack it down. I definitely want to tack it down. Okay. Yeah, well, it's just this. Yeah, it's just that.
But I love this giving way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it started with the seed pod rupturing. Actually, it started with the bulb rupturing. Mm-hmm. The bulb was quite intact, and then mm-hmm. we put it in dirt and water and the bulb ruptured. Oh my God, terrible. Oh, but look, it's green and it goes straight up and then the seed pod is there and then it starts ripping down the center and without that giving way. So the, and I love, of course, our life is giving way, whatever has to give way. It will give way. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Every day at Sashin, I've had a little ritual, a secret ritual that nobody knew about, and even David. Making sure that I spent a few minutes looking at the fish pond. And it's been just, the fish are there, under, way deep in their fish cave. And they're sitting much longer, Sashin, than we are. I was informed by the fish people, that those are people who take care of fish.
Yeah, we should talk, honey.
They came to me in their mouths.
Yeah, what did the fish people tell you?
The fish people told me that they're not actually hibernating. They're just really slowed down. They're not digesting. They're not eating. They're not defecating. They're just there. And I think that's an amazing thing. And I'm really curious about what's going to happen in the spring. We've never had them winter over before because we just got them in the summer. So where they're having their little fish dreams. And they're just...
Of the fish people.
Of the fish people. We're their fish people.
And they come and they drop things in the water that taste good.
Yeah. After the sun comes up, the sun goes down.
Will they come
back
again?
And sometimes they forget.
The sky's so hard.
So, you know, the processes that are moving through every one of us, the amaryllis, the fish, every single thing in the universe, are unknowable, and some things are unpredictable, and some things are going so slow that we don't even perceive them. Like Dogen talks about the mountains walking. So this trusting, this entrusting, this confidence that we've been talking about, that things are unfolding, and we may not see the unfolding. That'll be interesting to see what we do perceive.
Well, let's get back to the unfolding.